Romans 8 and from verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified.
I was visiting a good friend, Steve Levy. He's a pastor down in Swansea, and we were walking back up to the station when I'd been down there to stay with him. And he told me a story. I don't know whether it's true or not. I suspect not. It's certainly theologically dodgy, but it's a great story nonetheless. And it's a story of a Pentecostal pastor who had seen his church built up over a number of years. He had worked really, really hard, labored hard to build up a church. And he got to the point where he was utterly exhausted. He'd never taken a holiday before, and he resolved to take this 2-week holiday. But he was very anxious, and he got down on his knees on the day before he went on holiday and just said, "Holy Spirit, please, please, please look after the church while I am away." And the Holy Spirit said to him, "Who do you think looks after the church while you're here?" You see, it's very easy, isn't it, to undervalue his work and not appreciate what he is doing. And let's make it our prayer now that we would understand more fully this morning his great work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your mercy and kindness towards us. We thank you for the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for his words which we have before us now. We thank you for his presence. And we ask now that we would better understand his ministry to us, that we might be strengthened in our walk with you, and that he, along with you and with the Lord Jesus Christ, might be honored and glorified amongst us. All this we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, when you pray, do you know what to pray? Now, one level, of course, the answer is yes. We are taught by the scriptures how to pray. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us how to pray the Lord's Prayer. We have examples of prayers which we are to use. I think that is right. We do at one level know how to pray. But Paul reminds us in verse 26, and by the way, we're just going to focus on verse 26 and 27 this morning, that we are weak. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. And I think this weakness he's speaking about is a global weakness. It affects every aspect of our beings. There may be a couple of weeks when we're in our 20s, when we've come to faith in Christ, when we feel really strong and we're, you know, conquer the world. But most of life we feel our weakness. Our bodies are weak. We feel the weakness of our emotions and we're vulnerable. We feel the weakness of our gifts. And Paul highlights in this verse a particular aspect of the weakness that we have in ourselves and in this creation. If you look down to the verse again, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we ought to pray. We don't know what to pray. Yes, we do at one level. There's another way in which we don't know. In many situations, and many for periods, maybe even for periods of our lives, we simply don't know what is best. We don't know how to pray our way forward. Let me just try and give you some specific examples just to help us think this through. What about those taking exams? My guess is that those who are taking exams and their parents are praying for success. To pray for, to pass well and to go on to the next course of choice. But is that the right thing to pray? Just imagine you failed all of your exams. But through that deeply difficult experience, you were humbled, were shaped as a person, and went on to many years of effective service for Christ. And that if you passed your exams, you just became increasingly proud and drifted from Christ. How would you pray? You'd pray differently, wouldn't you? So you just don't know what lies ahead. You have a doctor's appointment this Thursday. You've had the tests. Will it be cancer? How do you pray? Actually, we don't know how to pray. Imagine it was cancer, and for those months or few years between your diagnosis and your death will be the most effective, your most effective Christian in your whole of your life in that period. You just don't know what's best, do you? You don't know how to pray. You're struggling. You're feeling miserable. You don't know what's going on in your heart, in your life, in the very depths of your being. You don't know how to pray for yourself. You can't see your vulnerabilities. You can't see the threats. You can't see your hidden sins. You can't see what will blow you away spiritually. You don't know how to pray. Your friend is struggling. Do you know their hearts? Do you know what they need? You don't know how to pray. Well, the wonderful news of these verses is, whilst that we do not know how to pray, the profound encouragement of these verses is that the Holy Spirit does. And in our perplexity, in our weakness, in the midst of all our struggles and suffering, we can be confident that God's good purposes for us will be fulfilled because the Holy Spirit is interceding for us. We can be confident that God's purposes will be fulfilled for us because of the prayers of the Holy Spirit. That is wonderful, isn't it? Just to begin to see that and to grasp that and to reflect upon that. And we're going to focus on verses 26 and 27 in time-honored fashion. I want to have a look at it under three headings. But let me just read it to you again. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. That is, the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. First, we notice, and we've already said this from verse 26, the Holy Spirit is himself interceding for us, praying for us. This, of course, comes off well into this chapter, which is on the Holy Spirit. Back in chapter 7, verse 6, Paul said he was going to introduce and to speak about the new life of the Spirit. And in chapter 8, he begins to describe what it means to have the Spirit and what the Spirit does for us in the giving of this new life to us. He works in us, we're told in chapter 8, so that our minds are changed, our very beings are transformed, so that we become lovers of God and those who want to obey his commands. The Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption. Through the Spirit we are adopted and can call God Father. He enables us to put to death the misdeeds of the body. Powerfully, the Holy Spirit will raise us up on the last day. Already we have heard amazing things about the Holy Spirit and what he does for us and how he works in us. And now we see that he is praying for us. The context here is important. In the middle section here, this chapter, Paul has been speaking about the difficulty and the suffering of that goes with the Christian life and goes with living in this fallen creation. And we've seen that in this broken creation, creation itself is groaning, looking forward to the revelation, to the revealing of the sons of God when it be liberated from its bondage to decay. We as believers are groaning, looking forward to our great future. And here we see in this verse that the Spirit himself is groaning. Creation is groaning, we're groaning, and the Spirit himself is groaning. And these groans of the Spirit are prayers. The Holy Spirit, the verse tells us, praying for us with wordless groans. Now, what about these wordless groans? How does this wordless groan thing work? Well, go to the commentators and you'll hear all sorts of ideas. Is it the Spirit working through us so that we groan? Is it that we're groaning and he takes the groans up to heaven? Or is he kind of groaning off the side a little bit? He's in us and he's doing his own groaning. Thank you very much. And we're not involved in the groaning. I haven't got a clue. The more I've looked at it, the less I know here. But what we can be sure, the main point of the verse, is that he is praying. And yes, there are wordless groans which we can't hear or comprehend, I think, whether it's from us, through us, beside us. But he is praying in ways that we can't hear and grasp. The Holy Spirit is praying for you. Now, I think it's just worth pausing for a moment. There's so much in this chapter reflected on, even in these verses. Today is Pentecost. And it is just great, isn't it, to be reminded about the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. Let's just do some basic theology. How many gods are there? One. How many persons? Three persons, that's right. One God, three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. A person. I'm very grateful. I came here a number of years ago to Spicer Street and I was giving a sermon and a young woman came up to me afterwards and said, "You got it wrong. You know, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is he, a person. Thank you very much." I haven't seen them yet today to thank them again for saying that to me. That's absolutely right. The Holy Spirit, he, not it. a person, not just a personal force. The wind is a personal, an impersonal force. He's likened to the wind, but he is he, the Spirit himself. The Spirit, in verse 27, has a mind. The God who knows the mind. People, personhood, persons have minds. He intercedes. People intercede. Inanimate creation, and it does not intercede, does not pray in that sort of way. He, a person, the person of the Spirit. And notice that everything in this chapter, all of these powers that the Holy Spirit have, is the power of God, isn't it? The power to give life, the power to change, the power to put to death sin, the power to raise from the dead, the power to unite to God. He is a person. He is God. And it's just right, I think, in our hearts that we honor him as such. He is omnipresent. To us, he is, dwells in us, dwells in you, dwells in the church. Only God can dwell like that. We honor him. And he is praying for us. He's not the only member of the Trinity praying for us. Verse 34. Jesus is interceding for you as well. Your salvation is the work of the Trinity. Father choosing you, loving you, the Son dying for you and now interceding for you, and the Spirit himself interceding for you. The Son intercedes for you because of your sin, pleading his blood. The Spirit intercedes for you in your weakness and in your frailty because you need help and you need to be changed. So the Holy Spirit is praying for us. Isn't that absolutely wonderful? Secondly, as we go into verse 27, we see the Holy Spirit prays perfect prayers. Perfect prayers for us. You see, we could get to the end of 36 a little bit worried. He's interceding for us, but with wordless groans, however that is working. And you might say, well, that doesn't sound very useful. A whole lot of wordless groans going up to heaven. We can kind of do that, can't we? Get wordless groans up there. Is this praying in any way going to be effective? Is this praying in any way going to help? Well, verse 27 absolutely reassures us. Let me read it to you again. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. And I want to translate it. That is, the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God, in accordance with the purposes of God. This is an amazing verse. Let's just try and ponder it. It's not easy, necessary to grasp straight away. Fundamentally, of course, what we were seeing here is that God is praying to God for us. Isn't that amazing in itself? God praying to God for us. And God the Father, who would sit here in verse 17, searches our hearts. God knows us. God sees us. God knows everything about us. And he also knows, this verse tells us, the mind of the Spirit. He looks at us and he knows the mind of the Spirit as well. How? Since the Spirit is interceding for us in accordance with the purposes of God. There within the Trinity, God sees us, and God the Spirit speaks to God the Father, interceding for us, praying for us in accordance with the purposes of God, and the Father hears, knows, hears the prayers of the Holy Spirit. It is an amazing reassurance. that those wordless groans are heard, that there is perfect communication between the Spirit and the Father on our behalf, and those prayers are perfect, absolutely in accordance with the purposes of God's. You probably need a little bit of headspace just to begin to process and to think about this. It is almost too wonderful for words. It is too deep. It is too big for us. As we just process it, let me just try and give you an illustration. Maybe get somewhere near this. A father and a mother take their toddler out to a family function. You always know there's going to be stress when that sort of thing happens. But the father knows the toddler, knows the direction for the toddler's life, knows how weak and vulnerable the toddler is. Let's call him Billy. He knows that, like all toddlers, Billy easily gets hungry and tired and badly behaved. And they go out to the family function, and the toddler is struggling, beginning to get fractious, becoming more than he can bear. And the mother is there beside him. And there's a kind of little word, a little, you know, husband and wife do that little signal. We need to do something here. And then she just whispers, I know you want the best for him. If we want the best for him, I think we need to go now. And the father goes, we're off now. We're taking Billy home. There's been an intercession, there's been a knowledge, there's been a concern for the child. The mother has pleaded on his behalf in accordance with the plan, and the prayer is heard, the request is heard, and action is taken. And so in the Trinity, the Spirit is praying perfect prayers as we go through our life, as we journey through all of our difficulties. And do you think that when God speaks to God on our behalf, that those prayers are answered? Yes, I think so. When God the Holy Spirit and God the Son speaks to the Father on our behalf, those prayers are answered. So we've got the Holy Spirit praying for us, the one that dwells in us praying for us. We've got the Holy Spirit praying these perfect prayers in accordance with God, in accordance with his purposes and his will. What is the outcome? Where does this take us? What are the applications? What are the implications for us? Now, I think there's a wrong turning here. The wrong turning would be to tell you to pray more, to do a bit more groaning. That would be a good thing, by the way, to pray. It's right to pray and all those things. But that's not where this is going with Paul. Where is it going? It's going straight into verse 28. And it's very striking that we have a paragraph break, but there does not need to be, nor should there be, a paragraph break. Because what he has just told us connects now with verse 28. You see, verse 28, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You see, because of the prayers of the Holy Spirit, because God is speaking to God about us, we can be sure that everything that comes into our lives comes from God's hand and is given to us for our good. Yes, this is what flows on from this. Because of the Spirit's intercession for you, all things are working to the good for you. That is the fruit of the Holy Spirit's intercession for you. All things, because he is praying for you. And what is the good? All things working for the good. What is the good? What is the good that he's trying to work and is working because of his prayers? It is not simply your happiness, your health, and your longevity of life and your wealth here. The good in verse 29 is that you be conformed and I be conformed to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And that actually may be deeply uncomfortable process. But because of the Spirit's intercession for us, praying in accordance with God's purpose for us, which is to make us like Jesus Christ, we can be sure that everything that comes into our life comes from God with a view to that purpose, and that he uses absolutely everything that comes into our life for that, as he prays for us. It is an extraordinary thing to know. And what it gives us is confidence and security in this life. It's easy, isn't it, to think of the Christian life, I've just been saved, that's great. Now between then and glory, what I've do is just got to grit my teeth through the suffering and share the gospel a little bit and wait till I get home. No. The Spirit is in you, working in you and interceding for you all the way on the journey. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Praying for you in line with God's purposes, using everything in your life to shape you into the likeness of Jesus Christ. It gives us confidence. This is a chapter all about confidence, and confidence in God's grip of grace and his purposes for us. So let's go back to some of those scenarios. A young believer, as she faces exams, through that trial, the Holy Spirit prays, Father, in accordance with your purposes, this needs to happen. And Father, in accordance with your purposes, may we use this result to shape them into the likeness of Christ. And that prayer will be answered. We can't see, in other words, tonight, we can't see our hidden sins. We can't see our spiritual vulnerabilities. Holy Spirit says to the Father, we can see, can't we? Their weaknesses, their sins, their vulnerabilities, and the Spirit prays. Protect them. Please use all that there is happening to them to grow them, to change them, to make them like Christ. And he will. Whatever illness, wherever problem, the Spirit is interceding. That would be used to make you like Christ. What happens when we sin? And sin maybe grievously. And we go back and the Son, of course, intercedes for us. And the Spirit intercedes. Father, use that sin that they have committed to humble them, to transform them, to make them more like Christ, to make them people that can be used by him. Confidence. Churches left to pastors and pastors alone would die. Christians just left to their own prayer life would die. But with the Holy Spirit, churches are kept alive and growing. And with the prayer life of the Holy Spirit, Christians are kept growing until the day of glory. And if you're not yet a believer, if you're not yet in the Christian family, I just want to say you are invited into this fantastic relationship with the living and true God. Adopted into the family, forgiven by the Son, indwelt by the Spirit, who then intercedes for you and transforms you. It is an amazing relationship to be in relationship with the true and living God, with all that is promised ahead. Will you repent and turn from your sin and come to Christ and be forgiven and receive the Spirit? That is on offer to you if you have not yet taken that. Let's take a moment of quiet and then we'll pray. Father, we thank you for giving these precious verses to us. And we thank you so much that in our weakness, the Holy Spirit is praying for us. We thank you for those perfect prayers, which give us such confidence in life, that we can know that all things work to the good because of your work for us, because of the ministry of the Spirit and the way you respond to his prayers. And we thank you for all that you are to us, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for this glorious salvation. And we thank you for the way you hold on to us and transform us. We thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. And that you are working in us and for us even now. And again, we thank you for the Spirit. And we recognize that together with you and the Son, he is honored and glorified. Amen. Well, we can be confident knowing that Christ, through his Spirit, holds us fast, holds on to us. When I fear, my faith will fail.
Thank you. the God of hope,
fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.